The writer and director of the films Amelie, Delicatessen, and City of Lost Children, Jean-Pierre Jeunet, has a new film called A Very Long Engagement. It's about two engagements, one of love, the other of war. A young woman, played by Audrey Tautou, the star of Amelie, is separated from her fiancé when he's called to fight in World War I. Driven mad by the gore and insanity of trench warfare, he intentionally gets himself wounded so that he can be sent home to his lover. But he and four other soldiers, accused of trying to get sent home, are court-martialed for self-mutilation. Their punishment is to be exiled to no man's land, the space between the French and German front lines, where they will either be shot by the Germans or starve and freeze to death. The movie alternates between the story of the soldiers and the young soldier's fiancé. When the war is over and the young soldier doesn't return home, she obsessively tries to reconstruct what happened to him. The film is based on the novel of the same name. Filmmaker Jean-Pierre Jeunet grew up near the battlefield of Verdun and read everything he could about World War I to the point of giving himself nightmares. He created two different visual styles for the film, one for trench warfare, the other for pre- and post-war life in the French countryside. I really love the way the World War I scenes are shot, and the scenes almost look like they're based on photographs of the period. Can you describe a little bit the look that you wanted to get and the lighting that you used to get that look? And I should say here that it's not exactly shot in black and white, but it's almost closer to black and white than it is to color.
Yes. The First World War is very graphic. I try to avoid too much aestheticism for the war, but about the war, I tried, it's not a question of style, but I tried to avoid imagination. I used only references. For example, the film opens with a shot with a broken Christ, and it's exactly a rip-off of a real picture, a real photograph, you know. And you can see later a dead horse on a tree, and it's also a real picture from a real picture. But for the rest of the film, of course, I brought my own imagination. And we asked themselves with my director of photography, Bruno Delbonnel, and we understood something. We are so used to watch the picture from the First World War in black and white or in sepia. We decided to get something a little bit like this. And of course, the sepia and the brown tone, the brown color, it's pretty warm. And for the war, we try to get something colder. And we try to avoid the blue color because it's you know, you see every war theme in blue color. And we got something between green and yellow. And the mud is pretty yellow. And you can feel how it's wet and disgusting. And for the rest of the film, the romantic part, we used the sepia tone. And exactly like in Godfather No. 2, it was our reference. And we, for this film, we had the chance, we had the luck to use a digital process. They couldn't use it. It was 20 years ago, of course. For example, on the Mathilde's bedroom, you can see only the bed is a little bit purple and the rest of the frame is brown, you know. And for that, we make just a mask on the bed and you can fix the color just about the bed. It's very useful.
I went to see the movie without having read anything about it beforehand. And in one scene, I was thinking, that really looks like Jodie Foster. And then I was thinking, that's got to be Jodie Foster. And of course, she's speaking French in the movie. And my suspicion was confirmed at the end of the movie in the credits, but it doesn't seem to be something that's been particularly advertised, and I was wondering if that was intentional or not.
Yes. I could say, in fact, it's a fake Jodie Foster, but she's in CGI, and we are very good in France to make CGI shots, but, you know, I do all the time the same joke, so I won't do this joke for you. Jodie Foster is completely fluent, you have to know that, and she has absolutely no accent at all. And she was in Paris to, I think it was for Panic Room, to make the dubbing, because she dubbed herself for the French version. And she called me to have a meeting. And my wife is American, and she was very surprised, because she has the same age, and she was a big star when she was a kid. And we had a meeting at the Café Les Deux Moulins, the cafe of Amélie. And Jodie Foster explained to me she would like to act in French. And of course, it was too late for this film because I hired Audrey Tautou. And I remember I sent her later the script and on email with three propositions. The first one, get lost. The second one, it was, I accept to be a guest star for your film. And the third one was, I would prefer to act a bigger role. And she chose the third one. And I was very lucky because she is very easy and she is not a star. She was very a good example for everybody in France. She wasn't late. She was so simple, you know. It was a great pleasure. And about the advertising, she refused on her contract to be on the poster, on the trailer, because she knew by heart the studio, I suppose. And you can imagine Jodie Foster in a very long engagement, this kind of stuff. And I think it's fair play.
I think she's really terrific in the movie. The movie, of course, stars Audrey Tautou, who also starred in your film, Amélie. I'm wondering, as a director, what you find so special about working with her.
For me, she is the perfect actress because, for example, she is, in first, very technical and she has a great sense of timing. Now we know she is able to make everything. For example, with Amélie, it was light and easy, and it was more comedy, and she was perfect. And now on this film, she's always on the razor edge. She almost cried, and she doesn't cry. It was the role of the game. We decided together. And it wasn't easy for her, you know. And now we know she is able to do that, too. And just for the shooting, it was a little bit more difficult than Amélie, because for Amélie, it was just a pleasure for everybody. She made some jokes on the set every day. For this film, she was more concentrated. She was more quiet, and she needed some silence. And I remember the first week, I was afraid. I thought, oh, maybe she is not happy. Maybe she regrets to accept this film. And we had an explanation, and she cried, and she explained to me, it's a pressure, it's very difficult for me. I can't be the same Audrey than Amélie. I need to be inside myself, you know. And I said, okay, and I explained to the other people, and it was a different game, but she's perfect for me. And in fact, I don't know her very well. We are not very close on the real life. I don't have any dinner every day, you know. But because maybe we are very similar, we have the same spirit, the same humor, the same humility.
Mm-hmm.
We are very similar.
You know, one of the things that bothers me in the casting of a lot of movies is this. A lot of movies that are set in the past, all the actors seem like contemporary fashion models wearing clothing of the past. In your movie, and particularly like in the World War I scenes, the actors' faces somehow look right for the period.
Yes, exactly.
And if you could talk a little bit about finding the right faces for a movie set during World War I.
Yeah. I think in first, we had so many references. I think we made a casting with something like 2,000 people, and I chose 300 people. But I saw the picture of each of them, you know. And, you know, it was very simple. You are from the beginning of the century, or you're not. And sometime I made a casting for the supporting roles or supporting character. And I said, no, I'm sorry, but you are not from the beginning of the century. It was very simple. And sometimes with a moustache, it was much better, but sometimes not, you know. And on the trench, I'm very happy because we made a casting in country. It wasn't in Paris. It was in the middle of France. And the faces are very different because people are coming from the farm. They are workers. And it's very different. On the scene for the balloon, it was made in Paris. And the faces are less interesting.
What are some of the movies that you grew up with that made the biggest impression on you as a filmmaker?
You know, I suppose every director have big references, very important film. And for me, it was two features I discovered when I was a teenager. The first one was Once Upon a Time in the West from Sergio Leone, spaghetti western. I saw it when I was 17, and I couldn't speak during 3 days. I remember my parents were very worried and they were afraid because they asked me, "Are you sick? What's the problem?" And I said, "You can't understand. You can't understand." You know, it was so important for me. And the second one was A Clockwork Orange from Stanley Kubrick. And because the aesthetism, because the pleasure to play with the music, with the picture, with the, you know, just the pleasure to make a film. And I maybe that's the reason I love so much to use short lens and to play with all the toys of the cinema, the costumes, the production design. And Orson Welles has a big influence later on me. But I understood something. In fact, I started to make movies before to watch movies. And I think it's pretty rare. I think I started to make a kind of movies at 9. I had a ViewMaster. It was a toy. You put some 3D picture inside. And I had a projector too. And I invented new dialogues with my friend, and we made some kind of movies, and I was very young. And that's my philosophy of cinema. Just buy a camera or find a camera, because with the video camera now, it's much easier, you know, and make movies.
You refer to using a short lens. What is a short lens?
A short lens, it's the opposite of a long lens. a short lens is a wide angle, and with a short lens you can see everything behind the character.
Right.
And in general, everything is in focus. And it means you have to pay attention to every detail, because behind the character you can see the walls, the paper on the walls. You can see every detail, you know. And it's not like in a TV movie, it's very different. And of course, if you are very close to the character, to the face of the actor, you get something very expressive, because it's the short lens has the tendency to transformate a little bit the faces. And you have to pay attention to that, because especially with a woman, if you are too close or if the lens is too short, you get something very ugly. And it's very difficult to use it, but much more interesting. And Stanley Kubrick, Orson Welles, Sergio Leone used, and Terry Gilliam too, for example, they use a short lens. And I try to use only short lens, the 20 millimeters, 25 and 27, and that's it. And of course, we lose a lot of time, because you have to pay attention to everything behind the actors.
I want to ask you about something that happens several times in A Very Long Engagement. The character who's played by Audrey Tautou has all these, I don't know, superstitions or compulsive thoughts. I don't know exactly how to describe them. But she says, for example, you know, if the dog comes in before I count to 10, that means my fiancé will survive the war. If I get to this intersection before his car does, that means that he will survive the war. She's always doing that. Was that written in the novel that you based the movie on, or is that something that you added?
No, it wasn't on the novel. That's exactly the kind of detail we put with my screenwriter, the kind of detail we love. It's exactly the same spirit than in Amélie. We tried to avoid too much detail like in Amélie, but not completely. And I love this part, because I made the same thing when I was younger. And I saw a film one day. It was a French film, very, very, very French. The author spoke about himself, you know. And he was a director, so he spoke about his own story. And he pee on the toilet, and he said, "If I don't put any drop on the side of the toilet, I will have the help from the government to make my next movie." And I loved this story. Maybe it's a kind of homage to the French cinema, the French non-realist cinema.
And just one more question. I understand you started your career making TV commercials?
No, I started with short film, animation short film, because I worked, you know, I was a worker when I was 17. And it was easier for me to make animation short film than live action short film. And after the animation, I met Mark Caro, my partner I worked with. And we made some live action short film. One of them, the French title was Le Bunker de la Dernière Rafale, the bunker of the last shot, something like this. It was in a theater in Paris during 6 years with Eraserhead, the first David Lynch movies. And it was a kind of cult show during 6 years. And we wrote during this time, we wrote two or three features, but it was very difficult to find the money because it was so different, so special. Nobody wanted to give money for this film. And we were waiting for 10 years to get the money to make Delicatessen.
I see.
And during this time to leave, of course, I made in first video music video, and after a while, a commercial. And it was the best way because I met my producer making a video, a commercial. And she was Claudie Ossard, and at the end, she produced Delicatessen.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Jean-Pierre Jeunet directed the new film A Very Long Engagement.